This is Sugandhi, your fully good fortune show. How are you doing? And happy 4th of July. It's when so many states got freedom, and United States was supposed to have been formed as an independent country, free from Great Britain. It's a fantastic day for Americans, and of course, we were all born knowing that we're free. We weren't there during the freedom movement or whatever it is that they did those days. We were all born being free, feeling free. And of course, they're going to be lighting fireworks, and you're going to be seeing great celebration up there in the night sky. Either it's starting to get dark or it's dark, and you're going to be seeing a lot of celebration. And it's a wonderful day for everybody to claim their personal freedom. Do it today. Today, you just declare yourself free and all tell yourself that, oh, I have free will and I act according to my free will. I am not being bound by anything external to me. Nothing is going to take away my freedom. And it's when we have free will and we can declare it today, being the 4th of July. If the country can declare its freedom, why can't we? Also, celebrate even more today. Make it even more full of energy, because a lot of fireworks are going to be released into the air, and that's a lot of energy. That's a lot of energy. So the energy of celebration is going to be extremely high today. We want to tie in our celebration and our success and everything. Today's a day where we can do that. The rest of the days, don't do it. Maybe Christmas Day. But today you could actually do it. You could tie in your particular freedom, inner freedom, joy, celebration with that of the whole nation. And imagine that the fireworks going out into the sky is for you and you only, that it's lighting up whatever good is going to be coming your way. And it's a statement of the kind of celebration that you're going to be doing. So, yes, in Las Vegas, even in Las Vegas, in California, we would go out and, with my brother and sister-in-law, we would take out the newborn baby or babies, as my nephews came, and we would sit and we would watch the fireworks. And I remember one particular 4th of July, that's when my nephew, the first one, decided he could hold a milk bottle all by himself. And we celebrated that. For us, that was a really nice moment, He was able to hold a feeding bottle, a milk bottle, all by himself in his tiny little hand. He was just born, just a few weeks out. I mean, safe to take him out, of course. He was around maybe, I think, 4 months. He was born on March 30. Born on March 30. So April 30, May 30, June 30. So 3 months, correct? And a little day. So there you go. Born on March 30th. And that, I think, was the first day he held the milk bottle all on his own. And we were celebrating 4th of July, and it was so pretty. Everything was really, really nice. And of course, when we think about celebration and the fact of all of this particles of celebration, remember, everything ultimately ends up being some kind of a particle. And in quantum physics, they discovered something, and that is, if they shot SHOT marbles, solid marbles, real marbles, out of something that, whatever the equipment is they're shooting it out of. And if they shot it at a screen, a metal screen with one slit in it, a long slit running around the middle of the screen. And there's a bigger screen behind it. So these marbles would go, and obviously they're shooting out marbles that would fit in. These are really small marbles, and they shot it out through this at the screen with a single slit. So these marbles, many of them would go through the slit, and because of the force, it would land on the screen behind and hit it. So then it created a line. There was enough shooting of these marbles, and they went through this single hole slit and landed on the screen behind, and it created a single line. So now what they did is they took another screen, metal screen, I think, with two slits next to each other. And they shot the marbles at it, at the screen. The marbles went through both slits, and some of them through this one, some of them through that one, and they made two double lines on the screen behind. So this is matter, the marbles representing matter, physical matter. Next, they shot some waves. Waves, waves. And when the waves were shot through a screen with a single slit, it kind of, wherever there was the greatest intensity of where the wave landed on the screen behind, it created a single line. That's what it did. However, when they shot these waves through a screen or at a screen with two slits, then the waves kind of started behaving crazy, and the waves would go through these two slits and cancel them each other out. Because something about the top of the wave hitting the bottom of another wave and then canceling each other out. So then what ended up happening is on the screen behind, there were multiple lines across the screen. So where the top of one wave and another wave hit, it created light area, and then where they canceled themselves out, it created the dark area, and so there were stripes across the screen. So basically, when they were canceling each other out, where they did not cancel each other out, and where they canceled each other out, as a result of that, there were multiple stripes across the screen. So the waves did not behave like matter did, like solid physical matter. Now, what they did is they went to stage three and they said, okay, let's shoot some electrons at this screen with the single slit. And so that's what they did. They shot out some electrons, and electrons are supposed to be one of the particles that can either be bound or not bound to an atom, something like that. You can always look up what an electron means. But they say it's a very tiny particle, like a very tiny marble. Very, very, very tiny particle. So these electrons, when they were shot at the screen with a single slit, it went through that slit, many of them went through the slit and created a single line behind on that screen. So it acted exactly like matter. And even when the waves were shot through the screen with a single slit, it created a single line behind. And so did the electrons. They did the same thing. Now they brought in the screen with the two slits in it and they shot electrons at it. So now, electrons being really, really tiny particles of matter, that which creates matter, should have acted just like matter did, the marbles, the first experiment, and should have gone through those two slits like the marbles and created two lines, but it did not do that. It started to behave like a wave. So what this electron did is when being shot out of the shooting mechanism, it behaved like a particle, but then it started to split up and started to behave like waves too. But anyway, so when it went through the single slit, it did exactly what the matter, the marbles did. It did exactly what the waves did. That is to create a single line. But when it was shot at a screen with two slits, it started to separate and started acting like waves. And so what it did was it started acting like waves, and these electrons started splitting up into different particles and canceling each other out as they passed through the two slits. And then what happened behind on the screen was the result was that of how the waves behaved, and they got several lines on the screen, not two lines. So then what they said is, okay, you know, maybe we're shooting out these electrons really, really fast. So what we need to do is slow it down, because they're canceling each other out. We need to shoot out one electron at a time. So they got some equipment that would shoot out one electron at a time, ensuring that these electrons don't cancel each other out. But even when they did that, and they gave sufficient time between each electron so that, you know, one electron wouldn't meet up with another electron and start canceling and behaving like waves. So even when they did that, they found that when they were shooting this at the screen with two slits, it was still behaving like waves do, and was creating many lines on the screen behind. So they said, wow, this is pretty odd, right? And so they brought in some kind of observation equipment to measure or to record. I think the word is record. What was happening? Like, why were these electrons behaving like this? So they brought in something that would record it. And now what happened is, as soon as they brought in something that would record it, it's like an observer, right? A recording machine or a camera or any such equipment is like the observer. So once that was brought in, the electron became self-conscious. Yeah, I'm not joking. It became self-conscious, and it started to behave like the marbles. It started to act like matter would. And so then these electrons started to immediately behave like matter and would go through the two screens and create two lines behind on the screen behind and behave just like the marbles did. So, wow, okay, fine. So what this means is that all of this energy around us, all these particles, electrons, all of these things, right, they start to behave different when they're being observed. All you need is an observer. It could be a camera. It could be some kind of a recording machine. It's basically that when this electron knows that it's being watched, it starts to behave differently. Wow. So the electron is conscious. It has self-awareness. And that's what basically we're saying, quantum physics, manifestation, law of attraction, joyful manifestation. Joyful manifestation is basically manifestation, but it's at the highest vibrations that you can produce the best situations and the best results. So that's why when you throw a ball in a court and see that it's bouncing all around, basically it has many possibilities. It could be in any place. So when a person is not looking, a ball could basically be in several positions at the same time. That is what we see. There are infinite possibilities. But as soon as we turn around and we look at the ball, it's in one particular position. Now, how to explain this better? Okay, let's say that Mr. John, fictitious John, went to watch his son play basketball. So Ernest's father, caring father, he's sitting pretty close. He got a good seat. And he's watching his son participate in a basketball sport game. And then, so let's say that fictitious John's son is now standing there and he's aiming for the basket. aiming for the basket, AIMING. As fictitious John's son aims at the basket, this ball, which is being aimed at the basket, has several possibilities. It could hit the side of the basket, bounce off, correct? It could hit any part of the basket and bounce off. It could never reach the basket at all. These are the various possibilities. It could land right bang in the middle of the basket, correct? Or it may not have even achieved a great height. Basically, the angle was wrong. Whatever it is, this ball, and let's say that fictitious John's son did the best. His best, he was right at the right position, he took the right approach, everything right going on. But still, the ball could land in any place. There are many possibilities going on over here. Now, let's say fictitious John is not watching, and at that time, he's distracted by somebody selling a beer. So let's say he's watching that. As long as fictitious John is not watching, that ball that his son threw into the air to land in the basket still has infinite possibilities. It could land anywhere, basically. So you just imagine that it's basically taken, you can imagine many balls and you're in different parts and different possibilities of where it could have landed. But when fictitious John decides that, look, I'm watching my son's game, and he turns his head around and he looks at that point, that ball would have selected. No, not that the ball would have selected, but it would have one particular position only. It would have either landed in the basket or it would have hit the side, but basically one of the possibilities. So as soon as there is an observer, as soon as there is an observer, and right now we're saying fictitious John is the observer because it's his point of view, it's his life. You see? So for me, it's my life. I'm the observer. For you, it's your life. You're the observer. For fictitious John, it's his life. He's the observer. His son is just equipment. It's just part of the whole story that fictitious John is writing for himself, that yay, fictitious John is his great father. He has a son that he was coaching and training in basketball. See, it's fictitious John's story. He is the observer. So while as long as he is the observer, his son doing well or not doing well is fictitious John's karma. It's not his son's karma. No. That's another level we can always talk about some other time. You know, you could always contact me if you want to know more. And here, fictitious John is the observer. It's his son, and he's either going to be walking off after the game feeling proud of his son, or, you know, maybe I should get my son more coaching lessons. Something, correct? So the question is now, we're not going into what everybody else is watching the game also. There are so many eyes on it. No. In this particular case, fictitious John is the center of his universe. He is the observer that really counts because we're telling the story from his point of view. He is the observer. As long as he's not looking at the ball and he's distracted by this beer that somebody else is selling to him, correct? They come right with those little wooden. They have this kind of tray on which they're selling things. So let's say he's distracted by the beer. As long as he's distracted by the beer, the ball landing in the basket correctly, his son basically getting a goal or whatever it is, he dunks the ball. Well, the success of that is still up in the air, so to speak, and it's a possibility. It's part of the infinite possibilities that are going on. But when fictitious John turns his head and he starts to observe the game again, that ball is going to collapse. Those possibilities are going to collapse into one particular event. Now, so you see, this is how all of these particles and waves are behaving. But then the next question is, okay, so it seems like all these electrons behave differently when being observed. They start to behave like matter. Until then, they're basically, you know, splitting up and doing this and having fun and jumping around and all the possibilities going on. They're behaving like waves, canceling each other out. Chaos. But then when it notes that it's being watched, this electron, basically they start behaving like matter. So all of this world around us is behaving, I could say, in states of, and I'm using a plural word, states, S-T-A-T-E-S, states of infinite possibilities, basically. Everything is everywhere. Everything can land anywhere. Everything is up in the air, so to speak. But then when an observer turns his eye onto it, and it could be a video camera, it could even be that the observer is the actual person, fictitious John, is even not there, but he has his camera set up or something like that. So even a camera without a person behind it, any kind of a recording instrument, or an actual person, is enough to get these electrons to start acting like matter would. What would the marbles have done? Correct? So then now, if that is the case, and if all of these infinite possibilities are around us and happening at the same time, and it's us who's going to be looking at this, observing it, and getting these infinite possibilities to collapse into one particular event. So then what matters here is how successful are we as an observer to get our world, our little world, to behave in a way that would mean success for us. So for fictitious John, he is the observer. His son is merely equipment. Trust me, it's true, you know, because in his world, fictitious John is a son, and is a sun, S-U-N, and his sun, S-O-N, is a planet. One of the life areas. And for fictitious John, him wanting his son to be successful at that basketball game and dunking that ball into the basket to score could be a wish. But it depends on fictitious John's ability to manifest here. And here is where the superhero comes in. That is to say, a hero / superhero is able to have his desires fulfilled. And that's where our ability to manifest joyfully comes in. For example, let's say, and I'm just saying, okay, let's say I'm a really nice manifester. So Gandhi Iyer is a great manifester. And if I'm fictitious John there, and maybe I'm distracted by some non-alcoholic beer. Correct. I don't think I could drink beer during the day and then, you know, still be sane. I don't think I've ever done that. So I'm just saying that I prefer to be sane and conscious. But let's say I'm fictitious John, and I am the observer, and I want my son to score, you know, dunk the ball into the basket just right for him to score and to be a hero. Yay, to win, basically. So then it depends on my power, my ability to manifest, my ability to get the infinite possibilities to be or to collapse into the event that would actually make me happy. You know, success ratio. How successful are we? How good are we at manifesting? So that is what ultimately it'll come down to, is how fictitious John is able to get his son just by being a great manifester, a great observer, so that when he's watching, then his son is able to perform really well and score and win. So if you go as per karma, then we could say that it's basically fictitious John's karma here that is going to help. Because fictitious John's ability to be a successful father. Now, we're not saying that doing really well at basketball and winning all the games or most of the games is the only way to be a success, you know, have your son do that is the only way to be a successful father. We're giving this as an example. It could be so many things, correct? It could be that his son starts to talk really well, or his son starts to draw really well, paint really well, or studies really well at school, does really well. By the way, one of my nephews, the elder one, is doing really well at mathematics. He's really advanced and could be my father's genes, correct? That helped his little nephew of mine be really good at mathematics. So he's excelling at mathematics. And obviously, my brother, his father is going to be a very proud father, correct? And so would his mother be very, very proud mother. So ultimately, we want everybody to understand that if you have children, then your children being a particular way or not depends vastly on your particular karma, on fictitious John's karma, to have a son be what he would like or appreciate. And does not, you're not bringing controlling elements and all into here. We're just saying that it is fictitious John's ability to have the good karma, an attraction point of having an amazing son that he would like. Because the sun is just one of the planets, not just one, it's an important planet, but it's one of the planets. And fictitious John is the sun, basically. And he has his family, you know, circulating nicely around him. So this all goes back to the observer. And, you know, we want to take a little break. We're going to listen to some music and come back soon. So don't go away. I want you to hold on tight. It's one of my songs. It's called I'm So Pretty. And it actually got created before we created He's So Sexy. So it's the same music. We just thought that, okay, we created I'm So Pretty. Let's just create He's So Sexy. And so this is for all the women out there. And you could use this as an affirmation. You could allow the words to sink in because you know what? You're so pretty. So this is Sugandhi Iyer, and you're coming back soon after a couple of minutes. So hold on tight. Monica and the Iyer for the Good Fortune Show. That's a lot of I'm so pretties out there. You know the movie I Feel Pretty? Amy Schumer? Have you pronounced the last name? Forgive me, Amy. In that, she felt pretty. But then, you know, in the end, she went on to discover that it really doesn't matter whether she feels pretty or not. It's who she is that matters. But here we're saying we don't want to teach any lessons to anybody because we're just pretty, aren't we? We are pretty, and that's it. That's what matters. You know, I am pretty. I created the song, and then I created, you know, He's So Sexy because it just felt right to do so. So I just added a few more sounds and recreated He's So Sexy. And here's the thing. If you're taking it back to quantum physics and if you're taking it back to manifestation, then all these electrons, molecules, neutrons, atoms, all the waves, energy waves. So let's say there are waves of energy that over time we've been thinking positive, and fictitious Jane has been thinking positive about herself, and she has these waves of energies that she is releasing, you know, by virtue of her vibrations. So vibrations are going out and they're saying, I am pretty. I am pretty. I'm so pretty. I'm so pretty. People like my looks, my style, my eyes and my smile. My hair is like this. My skin is like this. My eyes are so pretty. And she has these positive thoughts about her, and these are going out in vibrations and waves of them. And so many infinite possibilities come up, right? So here we are, and here we are, the observer. I am fictitious Jane, and I am observing. I'm the observer because it's my world. It's my world. And if I'm a really good manifester, then I have been thinking that I am pretty. And so if I'm a good manifester and I've been thinking I am pretty, I am pretty, I'm so pretty. People like my looks, my style, my eyes and my smile. I'm so pretty. I'm so pretty. I'm so pretty. And it really helped when we were growing up because we would have, you know, other, my parents' friends come in and my relatives and like, your daughters are so pretty. Your daughters are so pretty. So it really helps, right? When we're growing up, people are flooding you with compliments. So yeah, you know, and people will say, oh, your daughters are so pretty. But then even when cases, when it's not said, even for cases where it is not said and people don't hear it, thinking that we're pretty is not a crime. The last I checked, it's not a punishable offense in law. Oh, I'm pretty. Oh, no, that's a sin. That's you're breaking the law there. Hands up. No, nothing like that. You know, you're not breaking laws. We're pretty. And so let's say we are these amazing manifestors and we've been putting it out that we're pretty, we're pretty, we're pretty, we're pretty. I am pretty. I am pretty. Now, if you're really good manifestors, then let's see these waves of I am pretty, I am pretty, I am pretty. Okay, so waves that contain what we look like, basically. So these waves could contain anything. And they're going out, and let's say fictitious John. We like fictitious John, he's handsome. Oh, please, fictitious John, look at me, look at me. Well, if you're pretty, then we know he's anyway going to look, correct? But let's say there's somebody and she's a little shy and fictitious Jane is a little shy and she's not sure if fictitious John thinks that she's pretty. So her waves are going out and there are infinite possibilities now of what John thinks. One, John thinks she's stunning. One, John thinks she's so-so. She's plain. She's downright, you know, somebody he would never look at. So many possibilities, correct? But if fictitious Jane is a good manifester, then while all these infinite possibilities are playing out, when she's not looking, but when she turns her eye and she looks, at that time, all of these infinite possibilities would have collapsed into one particular event. And depending on fictitious Jane's waves of thoughts, if she feels that she's pretty, or her luck, her good luck, here is where good fortune comes in, correct? If she's in good fortune energy, all of these infinite possibilities would collapse into one. That fictitious John really likes her. He thinks she's stunning. You know, she's my soulmate. Let me at her. Give me fictitious Jane. So something like that. And so, you know, so many women in this world are not sure about how they look. And today we want you to tie in your lot with 4th of July celebration and take freedom from all of your all of these insecurities that, and this works for men and this works for women. I'm pretty. So what? I mean, you know, they say in the olden days that men actually, you know, they had nice features, correct? So nothing wrong with being a little pretty out there. So I'm pretty. We just translated into I'm pretty for a man. You know, for a man, I'm handsome, I'm good looking, he's so sexy, etc., etc. So all these infinite possibilities, and believe me, so many women go through this, that you're walking down the highway, hallways of their high school, and there are infinite possibilities going on. But when they look at that point, somebody's trying to affirm that they're not pretty. And how many women, so many women would have gone through this, where what they see and hear are just affirmations that, oh, fictitious Jane is not pretty. She's not good looking. She's not considered beautiful. But we want to change all this. We want to say, you know, today's the 4th of July. We're going towards our personal freedom. We're going towards a personal freedom. And we define if you're pretty or not. And so that every time you turn around, and even if you're not doing it deliberately, if you just turn around, somebody saying, oh, you're so pretty. You're so pretty. I like your smile. I like your eyes. You're so pretty. I like your hair. I was watching Trolls again. And trust me, I've seen Trolls many times. I saw it when it first came out. I was in Vegas. I saw it. And I felt, oh, that puppy reminds me a little bit of me, right? I like glitter too. But after that, I watched it several times with my nephews. Of course, when you're watching it with your nephews, they're busy jumping around, correct? Most of the time, they're jumping on you, like jumping on top of you, sometimes sitting on your head. So that's as much attention as we can pay to the movie. But then I actually watched the Trolls original movie, and then I watched the world tour, Trolls world tour, about how different types of music are competing with each other. The poppy is from the pop music category. Well, when you think about it, Poppy had this feeling of that, you know, she was enthusiastic, that she felt she could send her enthusiasm to somebody else. She had this confidence about her that, so basically Poppy, as opposed to the rock trolls, they were basically, you know, colored dark. Poppy was pink and bright. And so when we say, I'm pretty, and then in the movie Trolls, if you see the Bergens, B-E-R-G-N-S, they're the creatures who wanted to eat trolls. Initially, they thought that they could be happy if they ate trolls. I'm a little updated with my information right now. And yes, Branch. See, I'm telling you from my perspective, and I want you to listen, because this is going to help everybody. Ultimately, when I was watching the Bergens, And yes, to the naked eye, the Bergens don't look all that hot. But actually, once you start looking at them, and the maid, the scullery maid, the kitchen maid who marries the Bergen prince, she's round figured, completely round. But yet, when if you're taking a Bergen as a Bergen, if you're taking a Bergen as a Bergen, and the Bergen is supposed to look pretty, you're supposed to see the Bergen as a Bergen, as a pretty Bergen. Not compare it maybe to Poppy, who looks different, who's pink and who looks different. So every category of people, every race, every culture, the people from different countries need to be looked at as they are, not compared with people from different countries and races. If you watch some Nigerian serials on TV, on YouTube, you'll find them very pretty. They are pretty, and they're so into virtues and knowing how to treat people. And most of their serials are about, a lot of the it is about good values and how you treat each other. They're not going into, oh, he's black, he's white. They're not there. No, they're way ahead in thinking. And you could appreciate, oh my God, she looks so pretty. He looks so nice. It's just when people start to compare different people from different countries and races, and these are all different flowers that God created. All different flowers. And here itself in India, we've got a variety of flowers. Trust me, nobody looks like each other. I mean, there's one category of people, there's another category of people, there's another category of people. And if they all started comparing each other and feeling bad, then nobody's going to be happy. And trust me, these people are happy. So when you say, I am pretty, I am pretty. We need to have pride in who we are, our own culture, and we're pretty in our culture. Now, some people are internationally pretty also, even on a common stage, internationally thought of as pretty. But then if a person values, okay, this is my culture and I'm pretty, a Bergen is pretty for a Bergen. The Bergen is not a troll. The troll is pretty for a troll. And each group is pretty in itself. There's no competition going on. But because the world has become such a small place, everybody's competing with each other. And nobody's going to look the same. It's not possible. All of these are gardens of different varieties of flowers. So that's where I'm saying, we can be very confident that we're pretty. I am 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 pretty. So then what happens is when this observer is confident and is a, I'm a really good manifester. I'm very successful. My good fortune ratio is really high. So what happens then is when a person's good fortune, so if there is an observer, fictitious John or fictitious Jane, and this person is in really good fortune, then what happens is when he's not looking, there is a world of infinite possibilities going on. But when he turns around and he looks, because he's the observer, the center of this universe, all of these infinite possibilities are going to collapse into one event. And that event is something that fictitious Jane would like because she's in good fortune. So you see, a person's personal good fortune is the thing that is going to help decide how and where all of these infinite possibilities are going to collapse. Like, what would it collapse into? Until then, it's all infinite possibilities. Infinite, infinite. All of these are infinite possibilities, but our good fortune decides for us what these infinite possibilities are going to collapse into. Our good fortune is the one that decides that. So here you take quantum physics. And here you take the observer. The observers, as soon as an electron knows that it's being observed,
It could be a video camera with no person behind it. But when it knows it's being observed, it starts to behave differently. Starts to behave like matter because it's conscious. And so that's why we're saying all of this energy around us is conscious. It's aware. And our thoughts and belief systems and our good fortune factor is what is going to help decide what all of this energy, what is the matter, what is the situation, what is the event that we're going to be presented with. Hence, we need to be in joyful manifestation. Because when we're in joyful manifestation, when all of these infinite possibilities are going on behind our backs. But if you're in joyful manifestation, if you're in good fortune energy, when we turn around as an observer, these infinite possibilities are going to collapse into something that you're going to like. See? Now, maybe it's the fact that my father, I'm just giving you examples here. My father, always known as an extremely handsome man, and my mother, very pretty. And you know, all my uncles and aunts. I told you they had this Roman, Greek, Italian god looks, the cheekbones, the eyebrows, beautiful, slim, sculpted lips, beautiful skin and hair, all of this going on, right? Bone structure, skin, everything. So maybe for many years, they're already used to getting compliments. People look at them and say, oh my God, what a good-looking family. And then that rubbed off on the kids, correct? So maybe, it was already in my aura as I was being born, or my sister was being born. It was already in the aura, it was already in the air, it was already tightly packed in, even though we never sought it, nobody actually even bothered. I was more concerned about other things. Well, not concerned, but enjoying, basically. Okay. Going down and playing with my friends, things like that. So when we're carrying so much good fortune energy with regards to a particular area, and right now we're talking of beauty, then when we are not looking, there are all these infinite possibilities, but then when we look and we turn, these infinite possibilities collapsed into one. Oh, your daughter is so pretty. You have such pretty daughters. Do you see what I'm saying? Our good fortune, consistent good fortune with regards to life in general, or certain areas of life, are actually what is going to help dictate what these possibilities could collapse into. What is it that we will be presented as a gift from the universe? Here, take this. In school, I told you I studied in this fantastic private school with acres of land and mango trees. Well, during lunch, we would come to the gate, and yes, we were small. My mom would come and give me fresh lunch in our lunch break. So I never took lunch with me. It would be cooked fresh and brought to me by my mother. And when she had a suitable maid, it would be brought by the maid. But most of the time, my mother would bring me lunch. And so I would just have to go to the gate, and she would pass me the lunch through the gate because all the kids are kept inside, right? And so I've never had cold lunch. I've always had fresh lunch cooked specially for me and brought to me. So then, as I grew up and I could be let out of the gate, I would walk home because my home was 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away. I would walk home. I think it's 10 minutes away. I'd go home for lunch, eat, and then come back to school again. This is how I grew up. And you know the word entitled, oh, she feels entitled, oh, she feels entitled. Here, the word entitled is not coming from being deprived and then fighting for one's entitlement. It's not coming from that. It comes from the place of always having, already having, and knowing that, you know, we deserve it. We're so cute. We get it. It automatically comes to us. It comes from a different place. Not from the place of being deprived and then having to fight for our entitlement, but actually having had all of that already and continuing to enjoy it and to know that we're so fortunate, we have good fortune on our side. And so when quantum physics is at work, and trust me, it's at work, and this is not just me saying, just watch What the Bleep Do We Know, the extended version. It's on YouTube. And go read up on quantum physics, quantum mechanics. And you will find that when these infinite possibilities are going on, and the observer turns around and looks, so that these infinite possibilities then have frozen or collapsed into one particular event, it is the good fortune of that observer that is going to dictate what that event is. It is joyful manifestation that is going to dictate what that event is. And today is 4th of July. We want everybody to understand that, oh my God, we're gorgeous, we're beautiful, we're pretty. And that when we turn around at any time, somebody is complimenting us. And you know what? We will be meeting again for the Joyful Manifestation Show next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm in the City of Gods, and right here, yesterday evening, they were filming a movie. Yes. And this actor who was born on my birthday, June 22nd, he's really famous, and he's now standing for election over here, wants to become the chief minister. So his son is producing a movie. And so we look down, and there's a whole movie thing going on over here. So I told you this hotel is great. I went down, I stood in front of my car, and there was this thing flying in the air. And video recording, so I don't know, maybe I'll be in the movie, who knows, correct? Anyway, we will be meeting again next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Joyful Manifestation Show. Until then, I want you to go out and celebrate 4th of July, and if you're anywhere else in the world, I just want you to understand that you're really pretty and the world knows it. This is Gandhi Iyer signing off for the Good Fortune Show. Have a fantastic rest of the week and a fantastic rest of the day.